and welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man, and this week I am going solo. I am in the mood to rant, to rave, so please join me down this rabbit hole, because I'm recording this Sunday evening, so yesterday was the Four State Punk Rock Flea Market, and I'm sure some of you who've seen my unbagging video on either YouTube or on Facebook is wondering why. Why was it shut down early? Why? What happened? What's going on? For those of you not in the loop that didn't see the video and don't know, let me illuminate the situation for you and tell you what happened, what went on. Was it Matt's fault? And everything else. Let me start with the aspect, was it Matt's fault? No. No, it was not. Not Matt's fault. No one is blaming Matt whatsoever in the slightest. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, including myself, are siding with Matt. And pretty much depending on who you talk to, are kind of putting out the hashtags, hashtag not Matt's fault, and hashtag I'm siding with Matt. Now, with what happened, I'll get to that in a moment. Again, not his fault. Let me just say. Now, I'm going to skip out and wait until later to tell you guys, but I'll get into it. But what the Four State Punk Rock Flea Market was pretty much what it sounds like. The event was put on by Matt Burns to help raise funds for the Panhandle School of Rock, which is here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And what that organization does is it's kind of like how it sounds and kind of similar to the movie in a way, School of Rock starring Jack Black. So it's very similar. And what they do is they don't really, from what I gather and understand, they don't teach kids, like instruments, but they teach the kids how to be in a band and musical styles, meaning me, that person over there, might be able to learn the drums, a guitar, piano, etc., 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 but they might know how to play a song, in regards to everything, but they don't know how to play it as a band, and that's what this organization does. They kind of teach kids how to, play musical styles like punk rock, heavy metal, classic rock, and so forth and so on, pop rock, pop music, and so forth and so on. They teach the kids not just that, but how to play that as a band. And it's a way to get kids off the street and, excuse me, I'm trying to keep my energy up, folks. And what they do is they put on several concerts a year to help raise funds and let the community know what they do. And I've met the owner. He really is passionate about this. And the reason why the event moved from their location to the Tap House. Let me bring it up here. I already screenshot that, so I don't have to really. It was changed. The venue was changed from the School of Rock location to the Town Run Tap House and Community Pub in Shepherdstown. Now, let me just say this in regards to that. The venue changed mainly because the owner of the building is retired and is looking to sell that building that the Panhandle School Rock is in. So they were kind of sketchy and worried that they might lose the building. And they want to kind of step up and buy the building. So they're kind of raising funds to actually do that, which is a good thing. And that's where Matt stepped up saying, hey, I could run events. I have, good turnout at these events. And let's see what I can do. We can make an event out of it. And that's what he did. And like I said, it was originally at the School Rock building. Somehow, a little bit, in a way, I am glad they changed location, because with the rain we've been having the past few days, it would have, no one would have really been able to go where the tables were, and thus no one really would have made any type of money or so forth and so on. It would have been really, really tough to have the event at that venue during this type of weather. If the weather was really nice, like it was earlier last week, not, even though it was hot, but if it was sunny and dry instead of wet and rainy, everything would have been fine. But with this new location, we were able to have, you know, or at least Matt was able to have everybody inside. And one of the major issues that I had is that due to uncontrollable circumstances, I found out Friday that over the course of the week leading up to Saturday, I would not be able to get myself to this event. And Matt pretty much stepped up and said, "Hey, listen, I could take you in, but you mind helping out? At least set up and break down." I said, "You know what, Matt? If that's the, I said, I have nothing against you, but if that's the price I got to pay in regards to, you know, this event and you getting me in it, sure, why not? I'll help set up and break down. I'll even sweep the floor." And I did. So, that's not on Matt. You know, it was just one of those things that I would have been willing to help Matt in, the first place. And I'm the one that made that offer to him. It's like, "Listen, if I can't find a ride, I'll help set up and break down if need be, you know, just," and he asked pretty much, "Why didn't I think of him right off the bat?" I said, "Well, I didn't want to use you like that." And so I thank Matt Burns really well for getting me there. It's not the reason why I am on Matt's side in this. Because the reason why I'm on Matt's side is because he does a lot of good work. He knows his stuff. He's helped the show out. And again, if I didn't know him and I was just, or knew him just on a professional level, or at least on a community level, he would have still been on my side, or I would have been on his side in regards to what happened. Now, the event was going very well. Music started. It started at roughly noon, officially at noon, and people were coming in to the event. People were buying stuff. I bought 2 DVDs, and I got 2, in essence, what was called punk rock grab bags that came with free albums, a random album. And as much as I'm not a fan of grab bags, I think they are when it comes to cons and shows, they are in essence a cop out in a way. But I was really intrigued of a punk rock grab bag, meaning that there was a chance that who knows what I could get. I could get something obscure. I could get who knows. And it turns out I got not just 2 albums, but I got a total of maybe 7 CDs, a little zine, a magazine, 2 t-shirts, and a keychain, and a couple of pins out of this. And it was both things were worth at least the cost of the grab bag. So I had a good time. And there was like a mini movie screenings in out on the porch where the reason why instead of the bands being outside instead of not being outside instead of, you know, the films being shown inside and the bands outside is because, one, the rains, and it was easier and probably safer to just have the movie screening outside and the bands playing inside. And now this is just me speaking in regards to this. Now, what happened at about 7:30, a lot of the remaining bands that would have been there from maybe about 9 o'clock-ish, 9:30 on, because the event was supposed to go from 12 noon to 12 midnight, give or take. Meaning, if the bands were supposed to go past 12 o'clock because Matt's event page, the official, his page said it was going to last from September 8th to 12:01 in the morning, officially making it September the 9th, aka today, as of this recording. And the Town Run Tap House had the same times on for their event about the Four State Punk Rock Flea Market. Now, the band started up, granted the kids were the from Panhandle School of Rock were the first, in essence, band playing there, and everybody had a good time. Everybody was having a good time. The place was not jam-packed, but it's people started to pour in maybe about 2 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock, and like I said, it was fun. I had fun working the door because that's one where our booth was, and Matt said, do you mind just, you know, I'll have somebody here, for the most part, you know, taking the cover charge or the donations in, but if they got to walk away or they're mingling up and down the aisles, you mind, you know, spending some time taking the door fee? I'm like, whatever, I'm here, I'm willing to help, and Matt was grateful for that, and he thanked me so much for it. It was fun work, you know, in essence, being a volunteer for Matt at one of his shows. And just at about 7:30, one of the bands that was coming in, speaking with me, and I'm trying, and more people are starting to come in at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and all of a sudden, the band that was about to head back out was pissed. Come to find out, what was odd was this band was in suits. They looked very professional and everything else. Come to find out that this was the band Sourpuss. And speaking to several people that I know, this is Matt X. I'm going to kind of include Matt in this because Matt said he's known, he's helped roadie for these folks in the past when he was in his teens. So, and that's how he knows them. And another person I spoke to earlier today said he was kind of looking for, if something didn't happen within his family that he needed to help take care of, he would have been there to see Sourpuss in concert because he remembers, because Sourpuss is like one of the OG punk bands. And I would have, even though I don't really know the punk circuit or a lot of the punk bands, I would have, you know, been more than happy. I was enjoying myself with these bands. Lots of fun, lots of, you know, interesting music. And I would have, you know, saying that I saw, in essence, Sourpuss in concert, you know, and that was great, but he was pissed that he got canceled. And I was like, canceled? All right, what's going on? He's like, we were just canceled. And people were coming up. Yeah, we were here to see them. We're friends of the band, so we'll support them. But we want to, like, all right, what's going on? You know, I'm just here manning the door and manning my booth. I don't know what's going on. You know, kind of fill me in. And they were like, well, we just find out the event's going to be shut down at 9, or maybe give or take a few minutes. I was like, wait, what? What's going on? What do you mean the event's being shut down at 9? And they said, well, yeah, we're, a lot of the bands that were showing up past 9 are being canceled. And in essence, they can't play anymore. I was like, we want our money back. I'm like, well, please speak to Matt. You know, I'll be more than happy to refund your money, but I just need permission from Matt first. And Matt came in and he said, yeah, sorry about that. He was being very professional, very apologetic, and he refunded money where it was needed to be. Come to find out that the manager, I think he's also the owner as well, shut the venue down. Now, that being said, I'm going to Matt today on the official his event page for it, because let me just say this. Let me say this. The manager, in my opinion, let me put it like this. Let me say this before. I'm going to say it, then I'll give my review about the food and, in essence, the venue, and in essence, what was going on at the venue itself, and why. Me personally, even though I don't have a vehicle, I wouldn't recommend the place. Basically, the manager slash owner, at least the manager that was there, was being unprofessional and a lot of people being a real dick. He's the one that shut it down, and on social media was pretty much putting everything on Matt, saying Matt's the one that shut things down. Matt's the one that was canceling the band. At one point he says Matt's the one that shut this down. Matt is the one that was canceling bands at the last minute. Matt knew the time and everything else. This guy was being shady as fuck. And he was shifting, making all these excuses and changing the reasons and trying to put them all on Matt. But today, about a few hours ago, Matt put up an official statement. I'm going to put it like this. This is Matt's side. Everything was canceled, he was pissed, really pissed, probably to the nth degree. I don't know if he was fucking pissed. I know he was pissed. He was mad. This is what I was alluding to earlier. He was being very, very professional. Very professional. In every way possible, meaning that someone in his position, when shit like this goes foobar, and for those of you who do not know what the term foobar means, it means fucked up beyond recognition. And when things go foobar, you have to at least try to be polite, try to be professional, as much as you will want to burn this bridge and not pretty much yell at this guy or yell at the person that you want to yell at at least in this situation, you can't really do that because it just does more damage to you. If I had a beef with Matt, we would try to hammer it out afterwards, as much as we might disagree or will disagree in that moment, we're mad at each other and we won't probably do business again. I'll do business with Matt all day, every day. But the thing is, in this scenario, in this example, we might not do business with each other again, but being professional to each other gives us that little bit of leeway that both of us could say, yeah, we had kind of a falling out, things went south, but he's a really cool guy. Both of us could say, each other's a real cool guy, we've helped each other out, just that from, X point forward, due to circumstances, we won't go into it, just that we'll be very professional, so it doesn't hurt everybody else, and if there's a chance that we need to work together again, it shows that we are professional enough that we are not damaging each other on a professional level. So that's what he, as a professional, as mad as he was, as really upset as he was still that professional. And that's where a lot of his respect, he has a lot of that respect in the community and with a lot of people that go to his events and know him on a professional level. Now, there were rumors at the time, because this was a punk rock flea market, that there was a kind of a mosh pit at some point. But from what I was told, the mosh pit didn't really get out of hand. It wasn't really uber violent or anything like that. It, when it got to that point, it kind of railed itself back into a very calm, in mosh pit conditions, it's hard to decide what is calm in essence, chaos. But it was very back to, instead of what would be really a brawl, it was just very, just looked like a chaotic mess. But getting back to Matt's professional statement, and that was, which was posted a few hours ago in the event page. It said, wow, just wow, is all I could say that was the best punk rock show I've done in quite some time. What a great new bed of talent this area has. From seeing old pals and Last Call Hooligans, Scarecrow's Curse, and the Hell Grammites, to new friends in the Screws, the Exiles, and the Motherfucking Runs. Thanks to the vendors for sticking out a long day of rain and rock and roll. Thanks to our special guest, Stephen Bickenstaff, this is me right here for a second, probably butchered his name, for always being a killer guy with even more deadly artwork. Thanks to our filmmakers for being champs and screening your films on the porch. We had some issues, I'll address them in the next post, but nothing but love on this one. And let me go to the official statement, which was before that, and I think you might have taken it down. Yeah, I think you might have taken it down. That was 1 hour ago. Here it is. Now to address the other matter at hand. Town Run Tap House. Let me click more. Town Run Tap House and their other manager. Wait a minute. I'm misreading this. Let me start over, folks. Now to address the other matter at hand. Town Run Tap House and their manager. When I spoke to him about taking over this show when the Rock School's future was uncertain, he offered to take the show. We discussed the bands, and he said as long as everyone plays at a reasonable volume, we're all good. Apparently, his version and my version of reasonable volume were not the same. Had I been aware, I could have taken better precaution to what transpired last night. This venue has never done a show like this, and the management was concerned that the cops would be called due to the noise and fines would be issued to the venue. That is the reason he shut the show down early. While it was a downer for everyone involved, including the venue, who had to shut down a packed show early, they had to look out for their long-term investments. While some of the patrons of the punk rock flea market didn't agree with these actions, we still had an amazing show, and I thank them for trying something new and out of their comfort zone. And there were a lot. I mean, basically what Matt's doing is, not that he's dissing himself like from folks like me and some of the bands that had issues, which I'll read some of the comments in a moment, but the fact of the matter is, he is, again, being very professional. He's letting us do the heavy lifting. He's letting us go after the tap house in a way, and shining light where there needs to be shown light in regards to this. And I described the manager in regards to it as a Green Day fan, or I'm not knocking all the fans of Green Day, but a pop punk rock fan, meaning just somebody who might be on the fringe. He's not a hardcore, really hardcore or into the hardcore life or knows the hardcore scene. I could be described as that in a way, but the fact of the matter is, I understand what, in an event like this, I understand what I'm going into, or some of what this manager could have been. He had no clue what he was getting into. He was on the far fringes of the pop punk rock scene, and had no idea. And from what I gather, this was what from a few people told me, besides this, outside this event, that the Tap House has a nasty reputation for pulling this shit. That they would have venues in and shut them down early because, well, it wasn't either, it was bringing in enough people for what the event was happening, but they didn't, somehow they didn't like it, or their atypical procedures in the Tap House were not up to snuff. Meaning they were doing stuff to, in essence, intervene in an event. Meaning there was one event that I was told about that the person was doing the event and performing, and they kept kind of interrupting him and ruining the flow. So, since that is pretty much hearsay, I can't vouch for that because I wasn't at that event at that time. So, before I talk a little bit more about the venue itself in reference to everything, let me just read some of the comments in regards to this and some of the replies. Even though somebody pretty much said, fuck that pathetic attempt at an apology. It's a punk rock flea market. Did the owner think Edna was playing? I guess Edna. For those of you out there who know about the band, Enya, it's spelled E-N-Y-A. Please let me know. If you're listening to this on YouTube, please put a comment down below. If you're listening to this, please leave a email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leave us a comment on the post promoting the show on Facebook, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Now, the replies to this post saying, fuck that pathetic attempt at an apology. Now, mind you, let me just say, what Matt posted up, the apology to everybody, he was trying to be professional. He's trying to, you know, keep a professional, all his professional bridges open. That way, if he needs to go back to that venue in any way, shape, or form, which he probably won't, but just in case, he's got to keep that bridge somewhat in one piece. The replies was, you saw all that leftist SJW/hipster beta male bullshit posted all over the place, didn't you? And the reply underneath that was from the original poster saying, must have missed that since I wasn't there at all. But if you have bands playing at a venue, those bands should be allowed to play. Then after that was the reply, I think W Matt just won daddy issues, bingo. I think, but there was another post under a little ways from that was, I guess from one of the bands that was canceled, and he posted up, it was pretty awesome for my band. I guess they came down before, way before performing, and he said, it was pretty awesome for my band. Our singer only drove over 3 hours to get here, and all of us took off work early and switched things around and our lives to play, only for them to shut it down. Fuck that venue and the management there. We were all really looking forward to the show. Sucks. We couldn't play for you all. At least wait to shut the show down until Heather gets naked and pukes all over the stage. I'd be cool with that. I'm not sure who he was talking about in reference to Heather, but that would have been a little awkward, but maybe kind of fun to see. But the replies to it was, my favorite part is how the owner has completely dodged you in your posts and shifted all the blame to Matt Burns. Class move. He could at least grow some balls and say he pulled the plug. And the original poster replied to that saying, I know, fucking cunt. And the post goes on, we'll have to get another show together sometimes. Was really looking forward to playing with both your bands. And it says, replies are, fucking hipster douche noodle. He got smart with me on the way out, and I did a heel turn on his ass. I've never seen a hipster mangina move so fast. And it's like, he said, yeah, he didn't have the guts to even tell the bands himself. He kept referring back to Matt. I was taking mad shit on stage, talking mad shit on stage. Didn't give a fuck at that point. Basically, the last kind of post on it was on this. Not it was reply, but post. You're way nicer about this than I would have. And basically, again, the person was Matt's being very polite. Now, there were a couple of people that posted up on the Town Run site itself, their Facebook page, and to give reviews. And the, here it is, let's see here, one of the reviews, I'm leaving names out of this, one of the reviews that says here, I was ready to give you a bar a great review. I love the arcade and several other things. I thought it was fantastic that you agreed to host the Punk Rock Flea Market, a benefit show for the School of Rock. In the end, you guys failed big time. I would not recommend this venue for shows at all. It was clearly communicated that the last band was slotted to go on at 11. Yet your establishment shut it down 2 hours early. The entire time, the owner was complaining about the noise and complaining that the crowd would drive away new customers. This show likely brought more money to your bar than you've ever seen in one night. The place was packed. By shutting it down early, for no other reason than the noise, you cost bands who were supposed to play time and money. You also took money away from the School of Rock, as more people were coming out to the show later that evening. If your owner isn't going to be open to hosting different music genres and doesn't like noise or crowds of people he's not accustomed to, maybe don't promote yourselves as a music venue. Hope you enjoy all that business the flea market brought to you before you screwed them and the School of Rock over. And this is not the only review that the in regards to it, the event. This was posted again by another person, not so much in reference to the event, but there's a different context. It says the food is terrible. I mean, if you want to pay $10 for pork tips, quote unquote, that are just a pile of fatty gristle and bones, then go for it. The loaded fries gave me a disorder of the digestive function, which I'll get into that in a moment, personal experience. This was not my review. The function, which is how I know the bathrooms are a joke and unsafe. Toilet seats are about to fall off. Saw a mouse back by the pinball machines, and the owner is the most unprofessional piece of work it's ever been my misfortune to come across. If I could rate this place on a 5-star basis, I'd give it a 0.5 star and the other 4.5 stars to the H Mart across the street for having to do business across the street from this dive. I give them a 0.5 star because they just added a House of the Dead to their mini arcade. So that's pretty cool. Save yourself some time and money. Go to the Devonshire or Blue Moon, or just walk over to H Mart and buy a 40 ounce and sit next to the train tracks and throw rocks at the passing trains. Guarantee you'll have a better time than you would have in this place. When it inevitably goes out of business, I will dance a happy jig, knowing it no longer tarnishes the good name of Shepherdstown, West Virginia. The barmaid was very nice, though. She deserves to work in a better place. And the main thing was dirty and overpriced. And let me just say this. I kind of have to agree. This place kind of bills itself as a restaurant and bar. The food was very, very, when it comes to bar food, I'm going to use kind of Brew Baker's down in Winchester, Virginia. Very good place to eat. If that's a restaurant and bar combo and a local business. If I had a ride there, I'd be going there every chance I could fucking get. and they kind of make their own, I don't know if it's kind of store-bought honey butter, or they make it themselves, but that fucking shit is crack. This is just Brubaker. Brubakers. And I enjoy going to Brubakers. But with Brubakers, you know, they have great food, and they have a lot of bar food, which is pretty much fried stuff. And it was, meaning if you ordered their chips, meaning their fries and like chicken tenders, everything was juicy and moist. And if it came with fries, the fries were nicely done. As this one person said in their post in regards to the ultimate waffle fry platter, as most people who attend a venue such as this, you tend to buy food. You got to eat. You want to keep up your sugar levels. You got to, you know, maintain yourself. I ordered two things from this venue, the town-run tap house. The first one was spinach dip. It was a spinach dip platter, and the spinach dip was okay. It was decent for spinach dip, but what most places do when they give spinach dip out is they either give you kind of like a nacho chips or Tostitos type of dipping chips or something like that, so you could actually scoop out the dip. Now, they gave pretty much, or they give a thicker, it's almost like pita bread, but it's very, like a very stiff bread. They gave out cut out pita bread, and not to mention, let me just back this up for a moment. You, at this venue, there were no waitresses at all. At all. Which means whether you were sitting at the bar or sitting at a table, they put in your order, asked you for your name. So, what would happen was, when the order is ready, they'd say something like, if it was me, Reverend Godfather, order up! You're ready. Your order is ready at the window, and you went back to the kitchen area at the window, picked up your order, and went back to your table. How is this any way, shape, or form a feasible idea? Especially when you're having an event like this, there's music playing. If you could be heard over a performer, let's say you're having a stand-up comedian one night. How you're doing this, you're interrupting that person's act. You should have a wait staff, not Joe Blow going up to pick up his order, or Jane Blow going up to pick up her order. And it's just, I mean, it was stupid, you know? Not to mention, if you had a loud concert, you're not going to hear if your order is ready or not. So, in regards to the spinach dip thing, it was like, they had utensils sitting, like, you don't know if you're allowed to take the utensils or not, or what have you, but that's not it. It's like, it was just a wreck, and I don't know how it passed, this whole thing passes any type of inspection, but later on that night, I got the waffle platter, in essence, what was said by this one reviewer. And let me put it like this. It was salty. Not only were the waffle fries that they have, they overdid the... I don't know how they managed to overdo these waffle fries, but they overdid the waffle fries. These were so stiff, they were waffle chips. Literally, they were, in essence, waffle chips. They were rock fucking hard. Literally, rock fucking hard. And oh my god, were they fucking salty. Literally, it was, this platter pretty much, if it was done right, would have been waffle fries, some jalapenos, some feta cheese, and sour cream. Everything in this thing was salty. If you went to Walmart or Martin's or a supermarket and gotten a thing of salt, I'm talking about the container of iodized salt, it would have been less salty than this fucking platter. Literally. It was that the sour cream was way too salty. And it's impossible for sour cream to be that salty unless you pretty much dump a shit ton of salt in the sour cream. The whole thing was fucking salty. The jalapeno peppers were overly salty. There was no salt on it, but everything was overly salty. It was by far the most disgusting thing I have ever tasted in my life. And I've tasted a lot of disgusting fucking things in my life. And one of the guys I was sitting with, I said, whatever you do, don't eat, you know, don't eat the waffle fries. Don't pick them up as a snack. And he was like, why? I said, I told him what I just told all of you. And in essence, he pulled he said, you mind if I try one? He was like, be my guest. Go right ahead. I'm not going to finish the rest of this. I think I might have had half the platter before I gave up on it. He tried one. And he was like, oh my God. And I think he had to go spit it out because it was that fucking salty. And really, it was that bad. But to go on in reference to what the other comment said, now here's the thing. We told you what Matt said, which was to address the matter at hand, Town Run Tap House and their manager, when I spoke to them about taking off, yada, 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 they shut it down. He says it. They shut it down. And everybody agrees that Tap Run Tap House shut it down. Now, when someone brought up the fact that they shut it down, why did they shut it down? How come they could have shut it down? The manager said, we canceled nothing. Please talk to Matt, who booked and scheduled the bands. Now, the statement underneath that was, the reply to that was, just curious, why would the guy who booked the show end it early when the place was packed and bringing in lots of business? From what I heard, the owner was sitting there bitching about the noise the entire time, and the owner was the one who shut it down. And the reply after that was, I did talk to him, meaning Matt, and everyone else I knew that was there. Matt didn't cancel anything. The owner did. Your bar cost my band hours of time and money, not to mention a good time. At least you could own up to it instead of shifting the blame. And the reply underneath that was, the owner shut it down. My band played. I was there. Dude didn't have the guts to tell anyone himself, though. Some people will make money despite themselves. I'm just glad I didn't catch botulism from their terrible food. And pretty much that is what happened. I mean, they had some old pinball machines that I played a few. They had an old Galaga machine that I also played. You know, but aside from that, there's no real appeal for this place. And Matt was very professional in regards to this. And he has a great support people. And I told Matt that what happened tonight, all in all, is if his reputation, if you're going by a 10 scale, might the lowest, a not, drop it down to a 9. But it's something that, you know, he could recoup from. Because he's got a lot of people that are on his side. And let me put it like this. What he said in his apology and statement to what happened was him being professional and his way of saying, this is what happened. I'm clearing up the rumors. And if you read between the lines, he's saying, not just what was written, but if you look into it a little bit deeper and read between the lines, he's saying that this is what happened. I'm being a professional here. I'm trying to keep that bridge secure. All of you. But he's, and the reason why Matt's kind of apologizing is kind of reassuring. He's like, I'm sorry this happened, had to happen. He's trying to maintain his reputation, which I think a lot of people have said at that event, and to Matt, to his face, myself included, that this is not his fault. We got his back, and what he has said many times, that in a way is that aspect of, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to, in a way, if you look into it, he's saying, if I'm saying anything, it's going to be my side of what went on and what actually happened, but I am not going to badmouth this venue. I am going to be a professional. Everybody else who wants to take a shot, go right ahead. You take the shot. And you tell them what, you know, in essence, what I'm doing now. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Facebook posts in regards to this, saying that, how could you do this to fucking Matt? And I'm sure this, let me put it like this. The Town Run Tap House, in reference to noise, was nowhere near a from what I could tell, near a residential area. There were businesses nearby, but I didn't see any apartment complexes on top of those businesses. Meaning, there were a few, maybe one or two houses nearby, but any music coming from inside that bar might not have made any disturbance to where those one or two houses that I was able to see to cause any complaints. And it's not like one or two bars that are here in Martinsburg West by God, Virginia, where there are homes like within 50, 60 feet of the bar. And there's a lot of homes near there, and there's stuff on top of the bars and everything else. Therefore, yes, there's going to be lots of noise complaints, and you can't have anything as loud as what Matt did. So, again, this does not fall on Matt's feet. It falls on the feet of Town Run. And he's pretty much, he's not telling us in any way, shape, or form what we should do. That we should, he's telling us we should relate our experience to, as to what happened. And to show that the main people in fault is Town Run, not. Kind of bringing him into it, but the way is, like, he's not saying that Matt, he's not telling, like, people like me to say, Matt said to do this. Matt didn't say anything about doing this. What I'm doing, what several other people, what there was, as much as I might not agree with a lot of what Sasha the Princess of Darkness does, personally, but she was pissed too. So if she goes full tilt, that's up to her. Now Matt didn't say, Sasha, take out the claws and you attack. He pretty much knows, Matt knows me, Matt knows Sasha. He says, whatever you two guys, you two folks do, that's up to you. And you just relay your experiences and what happened here. And don't, you know, just, you could say you side with me, but, you know, I don't condone any, you know, like what most YouTubers would say, I don't condone personal attacks or anything, but what you do is you do. You tell your folks, and, you know, whatever you do, it's, that's on you. And make sure you're telling folks that it's, this is, in essence, your opinion, your, and what happened to you. And that's what I'm telling all of you. This is what happened. This is what went on. We are not, we at the show are not blaming Matt. Matt puts on a good show. Let me put it like this. Many years ago, well, more than 10 years ago, me and Big Candy, in a way, had a idea. We were tossing around the idea. It was mostly on Big Candy's, he was going to run with it. That we were thinking of an idea along the lines of a punk rock flea market. Same ordeal. Have a few tables set up. You know, have bands play. Charge a cover. So forth and so on. Granted, this is back in 2007-ish. Late 2006, early 2007. Nothing really came with it. A lot of the venues that we he was Big Candy was looking into were kind of, I wouldn't say sketchy. They were like, yes, 1 minute, no, the next. And so it kind of failed. And pretty much many years, 10 years later, Matt Burns had the similar idea, picked it up, and, you know, found this dusty old dirty idea of a punk rock flea market, took it and ran with it. So, does me and Big Candy have any remorse over this? No. He's making it work. Go right ahead. Be our at least be our guest. You know, I can't really speak for Big Candy, but heck, you know, it's, you know, Matt's running with it. He knows he's got his connections, so why not? But I want to bring up that site there, Run, before I go into a brief of the next topic. And yeah, I'm spending close to an hour talking about this event, and I think it has to be said. And let's see if anything that is new. I know. I want to. Let me pull it up. I'm trying to look for. While I'm trying to pull it up. This is 8 hours ago. guess they got the earlier one to call her. No, that's not it. I wanted to bring up Sasha's review and everything else. But let me go into a little bit. I'll go try to dig up the article if I saved it. If not, I'll save it for next week's show. Here it is. Now, pull it up, full up here. Let's see here. Basically, she wrote, her main post was, it's about Four State, how they might have to rechange their name, but I won't read Sasha, the Princess of Darkness's post in reference to the review. Seriously, say an event runs until after midnight, then close it down at 9 p.m. We packed your parking lot, and there was 25 replies. Let's see here. The person, the manager, owner, whoever said, last band was scheduled to go on at 9. Looks like they're on schedule. It says, the reply on that was, no, my husband's band was scheduled for 10 p.m. Sasha continues and says, yeah, there were 12 bands until 12. Wake up, assholes. Let's see here. The manager says, they were never scheduled to midnight. 10 was the cutoff. Not sure why it says midnight. Sasha replies, maybe need to look into that. Says, oh, well. Response to the owner, oh, well, not that it was communicated for months prior to the show. Welcome to Yelp and social media hell. And if my reputation does not precede me, that's my specialty. And the manager was like, okay, brought it on yourself. She says, brought it on yourselves. And she brings it up. Maybe I'm dumb, but doesn't this say 11:55? And what she brings up is there. I think she brings up Matt's post in regards to it, but it says here she brings that was Matt's post that she screenshotted and brought up, and says she also posts up to lets the manager says manager right here your own event page been up since before spring and said Matt set this up not us you will have to talk to him we're just the venue you're responsible to look at this too I think. The manager did not. Manager had to have access. Meaning, let me put it like this: when Matt has an event, okay, how? And she says, she goes on and says, "You're responsible to look in this too. You're just complacent." Hashtag I don't blame Matt here. Maybe you should go. Should talk to Matt Burns yourself. Been helping all night long, if you recall. And says, "I think there's a contract here." And goes on and on. And basically, let me put it like this. When there's an event, and someone like Matt creates an event, like it, whether it's a Four State Comic-Con or an event such as this, he creates an event. And myself, if I choose to say, if I've got a table like I did this Saturday night last night, yesterday, I could create an event on my own. Matt does not have access to my page. He does not. He does not set up that event. I have access to that page. This manager saying that, oh, Matt set up the event page for it. Really? You gave Matt access to your computer to set up this event on your business's own page. Matt set that up. You didn't? Meaning that you're not the one that sets up events on your own page. Meaning that if you have your own little, if you have a bingo night at the Town Run Community, Town Run Tap House and Community Pub, you let the person bring on that bingo event on your page to create up an event? Or do you? If you're the ones that create the events on your page and you're blaming other people to creating events on your page, then you have a bigger issue at hand. Literally a bigger issue. And because Matt has access to his own computer, he does his own events. More than likely, Matt didn't go onto your computer and set up this event. You did. You set up your own event for this. So that's that. And what I brought up about Comic-Con, let me look it up. I might have saved that link. I might have shared it. Because this kind of concerns kind of Matt in a way, but in a different way. Let's see here. I'll save that for next week, maybe. Let's see. Did I save it? It's been a while back. But there was a article posted up. I don't think I shared it. But, no, I didn't. What? Oh. Nope. No. Why? What the hell? I'll have to look on. Basically, there was an article posted up. Let's see if it's posted up on our show's page. And I'm going to scroll back and try to find it. But, so please bear with me, folks. And it pertains to everything named Comic-Con. And it was, I know we kind of covered it a couple months ago. But, no, that's not it. That is Burt Reynolds. By the way, Burt Reynolds, if you didn't know, it's been all over the news lately, but he passed away earlier. That's Doctor Who streaming service. Oh, here it is. Yes, that was several days ago. It's been a long time since we did an episode something like similar to this. But what happened was I know we talked about it earlier. We might talk about it again. Basically, what came out, I think they did an appeal. But a couple months ago, we found out in reference to a lawsuit that San Diego Comic-Con did for Salt Lake City Comic-Con. And they were suing in reference to in essence, theft of the name Comic-Con. And what happened was they lost. Salt Lake City won, but lost. Because San Diego Comic-Con said there was a theft here. How dare they, how dare they steal the term Comic-Con? And obviously there was appeal. San Diego Comic-Con, SDCC, obviously having better lawyers than Salt Lake City, an aspect of appeals and everything else is ruling the day, so to speak, because judge issues injunction against using Comic-Con, orders $4 million in attorney's fees paid. Basically, what it came out, the judge, I think it was a, let's see here, basically, what level, federal judge, California federal, I don't think it was on a state that what they mean by it was actually on the federal level. They could probably go higher to the supreme level, but the state level federal court stated that no, the Comic-Con is strictly owned by by San Diego. And basically, I want to get... Me and Lloyd kind of talked about this in a way a couple of weeks ago when I first found... About a week ago when I first found out about this. And we kind of came to the consensus is that... You can't really own this. Basically, what probably happened was back in 2016, when the basically what happened in 2016, we kind of covered it on our show earlier. It was like early 2016. The Fine Brothers tried to copyright and trademark the term React, and pretty much at that point, all of social media and all of YouTube pretty much attacked the Fine Brothers. And the Fine Brothers kind of run this channel called, these reaction channels. Like, kids react to Green Day. Kids react to a Predator movie. Or kids react to a Super Nintendo. And seniors react to Green Day or new music. Or Asians react to American-style Asian food. That sort of thing. And, again, they tried to trademark this, and they pretty much realized that they were fucked. There's no way this was going to happen. And because of the backlash that they received. And kind of later that year, going into the next year, I think it was later that year, a YouTuber by the name of H3H3, I want to say it was 2016, mid-2016, he was hit by a copyright strike, and the guy was pretty much blackmailing him through the court system and saying, well, if you give us X amount of money, we will drop this lawsuit and we'll turn away and you got to take down the video. He kept changing the goalposts, so to speak, in reference to H3H3's video, which was a reaction slash review video of this other guy's video. And it went to court, which he spent H3H3 spent a butt ton of money for, and won because the judge pretty much said what H3H3 was pure reactionary. It falls underneath copyright law in regards to doing a reaction. It is fair use, and it set a precedent. Now, I bring that up as an example. What here in modern times, we had a bunch of people backing, helping H3H3 in regards to getting this lawsuit and setting a precedent in reference to what he was doing, laying down commentary on video, meaning that he was constantly talking about the video, unlike these other reactionary YouTubers out there that just run a video, other than a brief little chuckle here and there. They don't change it in any way other than showing the video in the lower right or left corner, and just maybe chuckling and maybe a word or two here and there, or waiting to the end of the video before they say anything. But there are folks like HCH3 and plenty others that are out there that pause it, make a commentary track, or talk over it, depending on how the video is set up, and it falls within fair use. Thus, that's how the judge ruled that videos like H3H3's video in this trial laid precedent. Now, moving to 2018, August 27th, with this California federal judge laying down this precedent. Now, what happened was, many years ago, now, Comic-Con has been since, I want to say, the 70s. It's been around since maybe, I want to say 1972, or at least, let's say for the sake of argument, 1970. They've been around for 40 plus fucking years. 40 years they've been around. That they've been around plugging, doing what they've been doing since then. And they've only gotten bigger and bigger and more widespread, especially with the internet. And what happened was, and again with this, he says, well, yeah, it's not theft, but they own the rights to it. So back in whenever they initially put in for the trademark or copyright They were allowed to do so, let's say 1980 or 85, that they actually did this. Now, mind you, I think San Diego Comic-Con is pretty much gunning for money now. They're literally gunning for money. I don't know if ticket sales are low. I doubt it, because I keep hearing every year that it's sold out, or they're selling out in like instant time, or within less than 10 seconds or less than a minute, the tickets are being sold out across the board. And so they're not hurting for money in ticket sales whatsoever. Now, mind you, on the vendor front, we've heard that Mile High Comics is no longer taking up 5 or 10 spots in their hall, because they're not really making money at their show. Not so much that they're making money, but they were having issues 1 year at San Diego, so they decided, we're not going to spend, you know, the $10,000-$20,000 for the spots anymore. So we're going to just hold on to that funds. Now, whether or not they're losing money that way, hard to say. But what San Diego's doing is they've gotten so big for their britches, now they're gunning for shows like the Salt Lake City Comic Con, saying, we want money because you're copyright infringing. Now, when they got the copyright / trademark infringement rights to it, might have been way back, I want to say 1980, maybe 85 the latest. And what happens is you've got to kind of renew this type of thing every so often. And I guess they've gotten so big that, well, they decided, you know, let's get some extra funds in and start suing. Let me put it like this. It's not up until, granted, there were Comic-Cons way back in the day, all like from Anchorage, Alaska, all the way down to Miami, Florida. There was probably Comic-Cons. But the big ones that were around in reference to either pop culture or comic-related back in the day, especially in the 90s, that were really huge and really well-known were San Diego Comic-Con, Wizard World Chicago, and New York City Comic-Con. To have one at a close relationship that was really big and really well-known was, well, rare, literally. Granted, from what I was told, kind of Baltimore was starting up small scale in the late 90s, early 2000s. It wasn't until 2004 that they were starting to get really, really big and starting to take over the Baltimore Convention Center. And so what's happening now is with this, they're going after everything stating that's Comic-Con. San Diego's reason is, people will get confused that. Basically, what their argument is that, one, you're trademark infringing. Two, they're thinking that their reasoning basically boils down to people will think that when they go to Salt Lake City Comic Con, they'll think it's San Diego. Really? If that's the case, let me bring up this example. One, no one drinks Pepsi Cola and thinks it's Coca-Cola. They don't go up to Pepsi bottle and look at the label. This is Coca-Cola. No, it's Pepsi Cola. Now, if Pepsi did their label exactly like Coca-Cola, yeah, Coke could have a shitstorm against Pepsi. But one, I'm going to add this. Every year, San Diego Comic-Con sells out. Literally, they sell out. There is no way whatsoever that a Salt Lake City, a four-state Comic-Con, a New York City Comic-Con, a Anchorage, Alaska Comic-Con, or a Houston, Texas Comic-Con is going to take money away from fucking San Diego Comic-Con. No way in hell, especially when they sell out on a yearly fucking basis. None whatsoever. But what they're doing is they're forcing a lot of what they're... And I'll say this. When I moved here to Berkeley County, West, by God, Virginia, back in 1998, there was no way in fucking hell I confused it with Berkeley County, motherfucking California. I didn't come drive from up north, Winchester, and going, wow, California looks so goddamn different, don't it? Guess what? I didn't think that, because I knew I was in West, by God, Virginia, not Cali fucking Fornia. Literally. Basically, what San Diego's doing is they're being a patent troll, or in essence, this corporation that's going to be suing every motherfucker that has con on it. Granted, they're not going to go after a library, Altoona Public Library Comic Con, or Nowheresville Nevada Comic Con, Public Library Comic Con, because they're strictly a non-profit. Then why do you want to sue a library? They're just going to say, all right, here's your license. Take care. Just make sure you have to ask permission next time. You got to ask us permission, or else you're going to ask us permission? Yeah, can we have permission? Yep, there you go. That's it. But the folks like Four State Mats, Four State, Salt Lake City, unless they're using the San Diego Comic-Con logo and style of logo, how the SDCC has their logo set up, they're no way infringing on anything. Just that it was the time that they made this, they trademarked it, and they set everything in the stone. That's what's giving them the right. And right now, they're going to continue suing, in my opinion. And Lloyd kind of agreed on this, that there is no way if, he said, if I walked into a Four State, he kind of agreed that if I walked into a Four State Comic Con, there's no way I'm going to think it's a San Diego. No way in hell. One's going to be in a kind of a banquet hall. Another one's going to be in a large convention center. So there's no way that people are going to get confused. And what's happening is there are people that can't go, for whatever reason, can't make it to San Diego. They can make it to Baltimore. They might be able to make it if they live near Pittsburgh or Philly or Miami or Orlando. They're going to make it to those locations within, especially if they're for whatever financial reasons. Or like me, I'm able to make it to, Hagerstown, you know what? I'm going to go to Hagerstown. I'm going to pay if I don't have a booth at that Four State event like I did this past March. I'm going to pay those at the table. What's the cost? $15. Here's $15, little man. Let me put that in your hand. So, and they give me the ticket, and I go inside. I have a blast for a few hours. So, that's that. And there's no way I'm thinking, wow, San Diego looks different today. Unless I'm on the right type of drugs, maybe, but I'm not that kind of person. But what this is forcing to do, and I think Matt said in one post that they have until the end of the year, whatever events, pop culture shows that they put on next year, they're going to have to change their name. So, and it's because of this. And I think, again, let San Diego sue. Let them sue. Let them sue. Let them give them enough rope. Yes, it's going to hurt a lot of the smaller shows or the shows that are smaller than them. And will they, because if they keep doing it and doing it and doing it, eventually someone who fights back, has the money to fight back, they're going to eventually say what I just said and go, Your Honor, hopefully the lawyer is smart enough to say this. Your Honor, we here in, let's say, Houston, Texas, we might have similar weather as San Diego, but there is no way in hell people here in Texas will think when they go to the Houston Comic-Con, will they think that they entered into California for San Diego's Comic-Con in any way, shape, or you know, fashion. And they'll say, state the same thing, and hopefully that judge says, you know what, you're right. And hopefully the lawyers for that particular con say, you know what, they've been suing people left and right in regards to this. And that judge sets precedent on the smaller show side, saying that you guys have got to stop. You guys have got to stop. And hopefully that happens. And this is going to hurt smaller shows. Hope they're going to change it, but hopefully it, if no change is made, but guarantee you this, they won't, San Diego will not, I'm almost guaranteed, they will not go after New York Comic Con. They will not, because if they do, that will be a shock to me, because New York Comic Con has been around just as long, if not longer, than San Diego, just that a lot of Hollywood tends to go to San Diego, because it's in the same state, and closer. But San Diego has the insanity and the balls to go after New York City. I believe because both conventions have the funds to support the lawyers and drag out the battle, you might see New York City Comic Con, if they don't change their name, literally going after San Diego, saying, no way, you're not going to, no. There might be a deal, or they might have, San Diego probably went, looked at the eyes of New York Comic Con, and they went, and New York pretty much and said, don't you dare think of it. No, no, don't you dare think of it. I doubt they'll go after a Toronto Comic Con, because different state, different country altogether, so they might leave Toronto alone. And the conventions in Canada, because they might have a different, they'll be setting precedent in Canada, not in the United States. And who knows, they might actually do it so they can get money out of Canada too. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll try to keep track of it here at the show. I know sometimes I try to keep things within about an hour or so length in reference to a solo show, but the ruling says, cannot, in regards to what the judge said, the ruling states that the Salt Lake organizers cannot use the term on social media, nor they can advertise as the phrase as formerly known as Salt Lake Comic Con. They are, however, not required to destroy already made materials and so forth and so on. The judge also refused to stretch the injunction to include the phrase Comic Convention. I guess people... states that Comic Convention had multiple lawsuits of trademark infringement against other conventions, which were all put on hold for this case. I guess it's likely that this victory is upheld. San Diego will challenge bigger companies. I doubt it, because of it's kind of like Pepsi going after Coke. Again, Coca-Cola going after Pepsi. Both have multitude of lawyers, and both of them can pretty much stretch it until one person or one team decides we're out, but I doubt it. Unless a deal can be made with parent company Reed Exhibitions to secure a license to continue using the name, will there be a license? Secure a license? I think if they keep it, they're going to say, at least in terms of the San Diego Comic Con, they say, yeah, they got a license from us. It's going to be a bullshit lie, but it's the fact that New York is going to go, yeah, just try it. We'll make sure that precedent you just made with Salt Lake City doesn't stand. Do not try it. Do not try it. And so they're going to say, all right, here's the license. You can go ahead and use it. So it's going to be that aspect of a lawyer threat lawyer in regards to it. But who knows? We'll keep an eye on it. Again, I got to hopefully pick up some paperwork. I'm going to wind this down right now. I'm rambling. I wanted to at least relay that news story to all of you. There's a few other news stories I want to cover. But I'll cover that probably next week, because there's something I want to release, and it's an interview. I got to listen to it, so I'll save it for next week and use the other news stories as filler. And as for our GoFundMe, I should be starting it up within this week or next week. There's a few pieces of paperwork I want to get ahead of time. That way I'm all prepared for the GoFundMe. Guaranteed I don't need that extra paperwork, but I'd rather have it and not need it than need it than have it. So, and again, for those of you out there, I am doing a GoFundMe, or I'll be putting up a GoFundMe to get the show a new computer. And the number is going to be within low range, 4 digits. Any additional funds raised over the cost of a new laptop will be put towards other equipment, like a better camera or a better GoPro or an actual GoPro camera to use. Anything beyond that, meaning if I have enough funds for both a GoPro and a actual better camera or decent camera like a Canon, a DSLR camera, meaning I'll get the computer, I'll get the DSLR camera and the GoPro, and everything beyond that, I'll have to see. I might, depending on how much after, if there's only a couple of bucks after, I'll donate it to a local charity, but I'll have to see. And I'll come on the show, I'll do a live stream somewhere, and I'll announce it that, or put it on one of our Twitter, social media sites, like our Twitter. That way there's feedback, you know, that I get feedback from all of you out there listening, and those of you on our social media, that you could weigh in what we should do with that extra funds. That way, everything is transparent with all of you. And as per, for all of you out there that might be worried in regards to me, because the recent news events in regards to folks scamming people on GoFundMe, in reference to the what you might have heard on some cases in regards to this couple that got helped by this homeless man using, you know, his last $20 on gas, and they raised like $400,000 for this guy to get him set up. I think the original GoFundMe was maybe about 10-20 grand to help him get set up in his own place for a few months and maybe a vehicle. It went viral and they raised $400,000. I know there's been mixed stories of what happened, but from what everything boiled down to, it's like it seemed like they used the money. They gave him some money, which they claim he squandered on drugs and everything else. But what everybody else has been claiming, that they used it for their own personal dealings and gambling and cars and their own stuff. And it turns out at the end of the day that they actually, a judge ordered them to pay him the $400,000. So, to kind of be transparent with all of you, once I get the computer, I will be doing a unboxing. If I gotta use my own phone or something to show all of you that I got a brand new laptop, and do an unboxing of that laptop, even if it's at a McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, saying, "Hey, I got the laptop, here it is, I just want to show you guys," and I'll do it like that. That way, and I'll post up to our Facebook page on our YouTube channel. That way, all of you could see it. And if you want to see the receipts, I'll be glad to post the receipts. Personal information taken out, of course. Meaning, if I use my debit card, you know, instead of cash, I'll have to black that out. But I'll be more than happy to post up the receipts. Same thing goes if it extends to the camera and to the GoPro. I'll be more than happy to unbox it for all of you, to take photos and I'll be a part of the show. It's not like I'll be robbing you of anything. I'll be more than happy. And who knows? Again, depending on how much, if I get extra funds, I might get a visit one of the pawn shops and get a pawn shop backup. And so it's one of the options. I'll have to see when everything falls and see how much we get in. Once I post it up, I'll probably do a live video in regards to it, but let me run this show down and let you guys and gals know the usual end of show things, and that being that one, our Facebook page again is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Our Twitter is Twitter and our Instagram is both LongCoatMafia. So there's that. We do have a YouTube channel. We do post to it on a regular basis, meaning our podcasts are posted up there when we post a new episode. But we do tend to post up videos up there, and I have two videos that I have to put together and post up there shortly. I have to get on to it when I am seemingly less busy and more motivated. Let me let you guys and gals know this. Please be aware that even though I usually post the same video to both YouTube and Facebook, there will be times I post strictly to either YouTube or Facebook, meaning that if it's I feel that the video is way too long to post to Facebook, I'll put it on YouTube only. Or if it's going to be really, really short or really quick, I might strictly post it to Facebook. Or if it has a lot of the video I make is picking up, if I'm out and about and it's picking up way too much music in the background, I might post it strictly to Facebook. So please follow us on both. That way you're not missing anything. And just search for Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It'll come up on YouTube. So hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. It does a difference anyway, but please do so. Let's see what else. If you listen to us through either iTunes or Google Play Music, say iTunes/Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music, Google Play, please, I recommend using the Podbean app as well as a backup, because there have been times when, at least depending from what I heard from my fellow creators, that when they went to download episodes, either Apple Podcasts or Google Play has been like, no. Or they've had issues downloading a particular podcast just because reasons. Not because the show was doing anything really bad, just that they were having hiccups with the apps, or like I've had with iTunes as of late, that for whatever reasons, that iTunes is not seeing everybody's independent podcast, so I have to go through the main site. So if you are a portable person or a mobile person, please consider downloading the Podbean app or Spotify or Stitcher Radio apps, whatever floats your boat better. I was speaking to somebody at Four State Punk Rock Show, and she said, I was recommending the Podbean app like I'm doing right now to all of you folks. I said, we are also on Stitcher and Spotify. She said, I listen to Spotify all the time. I said, well, yeah, if you're already set up for Spotify, I do recommend that. We are on Spotify. So that made her happy. So if you listen to us on Spotify, I do thank you. If you listen to us on the Podbean app, I thank you. But if you are a desktop person, because I know there are still quite a few people out there that like using their desktop, again, you can find us on iTunes. But if there's a problem with iTunes, you can always find us on Stitcher Radio and Spotify if you stream through those websites. But again, downloading directly from our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And while you're there, you could go all the way back to the beginning and listen to how bad our audio was back then, and how bad our our Skype recordings were that we did. Now we know how to make them sound way better and more stereo. So, that's that. And let's see, what else? I'm forgetting something, folks. I'm legitimately forgetting something. But I am sure I'll figure it out. But stay with us, please. I know we've hit... Let's see, did it change back? Let me visit, because I want to thank all of you. If you follow us on Facebook, thank you so much for following all 160. I think it's like 167, 168 of you. Let's see, does it show? Does it tell us how many people like us on, let's see here. No, all 168 of you on Facebook that like our page there, thank you so much for liking us. Let's see here. Let's get out of this particular app. Let's see, on Instagram. For all of you who started following us on Instagram, let's see here. All 265 of you, at the moment, it's 265. Thank you for following us. Please continue following us. We try to post as regular as we can. We do thank you for following us and being with us this long. And let's go over to Twitter. I know we are close to, if not more than 300 people on Twitter. 310 followers on Twitter. Thank you all for all of you on who listen or follow us on Twitter. Thank you so much. I know there's a lot of cross flow between Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, but either way, for all of you just follow us on Twitter, thank you so much. And for all of you, all 1,200 of you who are listening to us right now, or at least all of you who might be listening through either the Podbean app or the website, downloading and listening to us on your favorite MP3 player of choice on your desktop, let me just say thank you. And for those of you who wish to know, because I tend to be transparent with our numbers, right now we have 40 plays. That's 19,140 total plays as of this recording. And for all of you who've been listening since the beginning, thank you so much. Really, thank you. Every day, with anxiety and everything else, it's fun to see that number go up and everything else. We try to give you all of you a range of topics, and let's see, wow. But take care. Speak to you all next week. Well, I'll put a decent show together. Who knows, I might be able to get Big Candy on the show. I'll have to ask him to see how he feels in regards to Skyping in. I'll set everything up on... if so, I'll set everything up on Skype. We'll talk about a few topics. I'll create a few topics, and I'll insert that interview. That way we have something to give you folks out there, something different, and toss it up and get updated with Big Candy, because I know it's been about a month since we had him on. So who knows? Take care. I am out, and I'll see you all next week.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.